Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we conclude our study of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, titled, The Perfect Parent. This is part 2 of 2.
Boy, sometimes you think, why, if I could do it over. And I didn't save that because it's the least important. The importance, it's actually what you say the best for last. Pray for them. Pray for your children. You want to be, it's basic parenting skill. I would get in my car, ready to go to work, and I would sit in my car and pray for everybody in that house, and then pull out. And on the weekends, I'd pray for them whenever I got up moving around. Some Saturdays it was around noon, but still I did it. Pray for your children. There you are. Basic parenting right there. Now you go out and spend all kinds of money on books and DVDs and everything, but I'm telling you, if you'll just cover these 4 points right there, you're going to be as good a parent as Tom is.
Amen.
Almost perfect. And that's basically what it means to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, God's not complicated. You don't need a 12-week seminar to be a good parent. That really is as simple as it is. This is something else J. Vernon McGee said in his commentary. He said, quote, nurture means discipline, and admonition means instruction. And that is so clear whenever you hear somebody say that. Nurture means discipline. Discipline isn't beating your kids. Discipline, if you're having to beat your kids, it's because your discipline is failing. Discipline is to instill in your children the ability to live in such a way you don't have to break out the belts and the paddles. Amen? I mean, the Marines, they instill discipline. But the idea is to get them to the point where they don't have to be sent to peel the potatoes. And you ever watch Gomer Pyle? Dude peeled a lot of potatoes, amen? But Sergeant Carter was in his face and then, what do you say, Pyle? Why are you doing that, Pyle? I can't hear you. You know, I love that. Now, you're not a Marine Corps, you know, drill sergeant, so don't be in your face screaming at your kids. But you should have that same desire to instill in them discipline. And discipline isn't, we've associated discipline with the punishment. It's punishment. See, two different words. Things that are different are not the same. Discipline and punishment are not the same thing. Punishment is when discipline fails. Nurture means discipline and admonition means instruction. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. No such commandment was given to parents under the law, he says. That's one area where I think he's a little off, and I'll show you why in a minute. No, not trying to slam J. Vernon. I'm saying he's human. He says, under grace there are always mutual responsibilities, interactive duties. The parent is not to vent a bad disposition on a child or punish him in a fit of rage. I have a witness, although she's stepped out with the baby for the moment, but she'll tell you that one of the things I would always do, and it actually makes the punishment worse, is I didn't just, you know, I would say, go to your room. Dre's looking at me like, and they would go knowing, oh. And they would, yeah, that's Tracy. Go to your room. So the kids would go to their room and do what? They'd have to sit and wait and think about. And I would go in and I would tell them, and this only, it didn't have to happen very often. And I believe this is why. It wasn't because my kids were perfect. But they knew when I said no, I meant it. And I'd walk in and I'd say, you're getting your spanking. And I want you to understand why you're getting a spanking. And I'd explain it. And I said, do you understand? Yes. I said, I'll be back in a minute or a few minutes. And I'd shut the door and I'd let him sit in there and stew. And you could hear him saying, And then I'd go in and I'd, under self-control, apply the Board of Education. Amen? Didn't have to do it. Actually, you know, after they were out of their toddler stage, there was only one real time that I had to do that. And, you know, I've talked to other people who said they were never spanked. Well, some of you, I can tell. Amen? but some people have never were spanked, but you can, you know, their parents were disciplinarians nonetheless, see? And they turned out fine. So what about those with children who rebel and run from God? They were bad parents, amen?
Amen.
You weren't supposed to say that. You can be a good parent. There's only ever been one perfect parent, and that's who? Okay. We have this promise in Proverbs 22:6: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. People have been falsely taught that means every child, if you raise them right, will be saved. That's not what it says, and it's not what it means. If you're a Calvinist, then all your children are elect, okay? But if you're not a Calvinist and you believe the Bible, then you do what you are told. You train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Meaning that upbringing will always be there. They will never get that out of their heads and hearts.
Amen.
But they still have a free will. Does not guarantee that every child raised right will be saved. It guarantees that they will never forget their upbringing. Mark it down. If you choose to reject that biblical interpretation, you're just going to cause grief to your own heart because you're going to doubt God. You're going to say, well, God, I raised them the way I should. Why aren't they saved? Because they still have a free will. So I repeat, there has only ever been one perfect parent. Our Father in heaven. And yet, after being raised in the perfect home, Adam and Eve still rebelled. That's what I meant by the fact that if you have children who rebel, that doesn't mean you were a bad parent. Could mean you're a bad parent, because there are some kids who rebel because of what we talked about earlier. They didn't have saved parents, or they did who have saved parents, but the parents were hypocrites, or they had parents who were saved but didn't instill discipline. All that can be true. And if that's you, I'm not telling you to beat yourself up over that. We're still told to forget those things that are past and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. And that means that you don't live in the past and get depressed over it. But what you do is admit it, confess it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then from that point, you advocate for good parenting.
Amen.
And admit it to people. I messed up as a parent. And I don't want you to make the same mistakes. Here's what you need to know. That's what you do. See, God will take your bad parenting years, like He will any other sin in your life, and if you'll confess that and make that right, He will turn that into a tool that you'll be able to use, a weapon to use against Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what He'll do with bad parenting. But it's also to realize if you have kids that go and rebel, Adam and Eve are the proof. If you go back and read what happened, it says in verse 6 of Genesis 3, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. There have been many children who have been taught the truth, but then when tempted, they reach out and take it. That doesn't make the parent a bad parent. God's not a bad parent. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Is that God's fault? Is it?
No.
No, it's not. This doesn't excuse bad parenting, obviously. But even when you've done all you can do, it still comes down to the child making choices. I know one preacher in particular. I just thought, man, he's. I just think you're going to regret this, because I'd hear him preach, and he'd get up there and talk to parents, and he'd tell them exactly what to do, and he would guarantee that if you just do this, your kids will all turn out to be, you know, the apostles. First child in his family, 15 years old, girl, gets pregnant. It about destroyed his ministry, because he had set himself up as some wonderful thing. And then guaranteed everybody that if you just did what he said according to the Bible. And what he taught was pretty good stuff. But I'm teaching very similar to what he taught as far as how to be a good parent. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth. Your children, our children, all children can be raised as perfect as possible, and they still can choose to rebel. And that's why, as a good parent, you will from time to time warn your children. You're a human being. If you open yourself up, Satan will take you down.
Amen.
And I warned my children. Between Jenny and I, we had five. And we've got a couple that are in rebellion. And I've had people, you know, look at my oldest and say, "Wow, you know, you just did such a wonderful job parenting." I said, "Well, I'd like to take that credit, but I raised all mine the same, and not all of them turned out. Now, I'm praying they come around, but there's no guarantees. I raised them all the same. Why didn't they all three turn out the same? Because they're not all the same. They're all individual free agents with a free will." And so what I'm getting at is not excusing bad parenting. And if you've been a bad parent or done things you shouldn't, like all of us can admit to something, at least, get that right with God. Tell him, "Yeah, I blew that." Admit it freely. And then help the next generation to stop making these same mistakes and worse. It's also a great comfort to know that God is dealing with our children in His own way. See, it's not on your shoulders. Your middle name, everyone in here, your middle name is not Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You are to do the best you can in understanding that God is working in that person's life that you have been blessed with as a child. But you don't own them. They're not your clone. They are an individual, and God has His own dealings with them. And so actually, that's what has to happen when you reach adulthood, is to back off and lift your hands and put them in the Lord's hands. It's all you can do. So in closing, I want to look at a couple verses here in James 4:8. The promise that God is working on your kids too. Read that. "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." That's to you and to your children, to me and to my children. All of us are sinners. All of us have a sinful nature. And all of us are being dealt with between God and us as individuals. Where we are, He's coming to you where you are, and He's trying to draw you to Him. And if you are a wise man or woman, young or old, you will draw near to God.
Amen.
And He will draw near to you, nigh to you. Psalm 68:5 says this. Read that. "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation." How many of you know that unless the rapture takes place pretty soon, we're all going to die?
Amen.
Positive Thinking by Pastor Greg. We're all going to die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then judgment. So, as a parent, if you're not a parent, or you're not a parent yet, I'm going to tell you something. That's one of those areas where you're like, "Oh boy, what if I were to die right now?" And you think about your kids. God will always be there for your children.
Amen.
You can have peace and not worry about it Not fret over it, lose sleep. God's always there for the fatherless. Jenny, when we met, was a widow. She was raising two boys on her own. I was not a savior. When I came along in her life, she was getting along fine without me. I've been a blessing, amen. I mean, I've been a blessing, but I wasn't necessary. God was there all the while, amen.
Amen.
God was helping her raise those boys before I came along.
Amen.
That verse, we joke about life verses, but that really is a life verse for Jenny. So be saved, live for Jesus, preach the gospel to your children.
Amen.
Every parent should be repeatedly talking about the gospel to their children.
Amen.
We used to, you know, you have the Easter and Christmas thing, you know. We didn't talk about bunnies on Easter. We didn't talk about Santa Claus on Christmas. We talked about Jesus.
Amen.
And I'd say, girls, today you're going to hear a lot about Easter and Easter eggs and bunnies and everything, but the real purpose was supposed to be about the resurrection of Jesus. And I'd tell them the truth about the resurrection. We won't get into all that again because I've repeated it over and over the last 2 months. But I'd emphasize the fact that Jesus died for your sins and mine. And He was buried and He rose again and conquered sin and death. And they, every Christmas, I would say, you realize Jesus came as a baby, but He was God who came as a human being so that He would grow up and die for our sins. See, Christmas became a gospel message. And then all points in between. Constantly talking to the kids about the gospel. And this is the gospel. Read that with me. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And what do you tell your kids? You tell your kids, listen, you have had trouble from time to time. You've been disciplined with punishment because you get in trouble from time. That's because you have a sinful nature. Listen, folks, even I don't care if they're 5, 6, 7 years old. They demonstrated a sinful nature by then. And you help them understand you need to be saved. And as soon as you have some sense that that child is old enough to understand this, you should start talking to them about it. But leave it up to them to make that confession, because it's got to be something that takes place in the heart. You can't, you know, force your kids into the kingdom. But you start telling them from the youngest age, you have a sinful nature.
Amen.
And you know when daddy walks out of the room and you're tempted to do something you weren't supposed to do? All of us have that. And that's why you need to be saved.
Amen.
And so what do? You repent toward God. And you say, Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I've done bad things. You don't have to understand everything, but you have to understand your need of salvation. And I believe Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. You don't even have to say it out loud. If you're thinking that, you're saved.
Amen. That's right.
Then you confess, because no one has to tell you. When people get saved, they just start confessing it. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. That is all that you are asked to do. That's not only good advice for parenting, it's advice for being a spouse, being married, being a friend, any of your loved ones. Be saved. Live it as an example. Pray for them and tell them about Jesus. Talk to them about the gospel. That's simple, straightforward instruction that pretty much covers all your relationships on one level or another. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. And we thank You for these studies going verse by verse from Ephesians 5 through here in chapter 6, verse 4, and the instructions and wisdom and in guidance that the Holy Spirit has given us for families, and always comes back to the cross. And Lord, that I just pray that everyone in this room is sure of their salvation. Saved and knowing it is key to all other things we do in this life, because that's the only way we can please You and bring glory to You. And so I ask, Lord, Your Holy Spirit, work on any hearts here in this room or listening on the internet, or who would hear this on radio or by other means. Lord, that they would know for sure they're saved first and foremost, and then begin to live in the wisdom that You've given us in Your Word. For the glory and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Amen.